and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode... I actually have no idea. I'm going to call it 212, but I could be wrong. I'm sitting on my front porch. It's really nice. It is Wednesday night, July 26th, could be. I am lost in space and time. That's what's going on here. I know that it is 2017. It has probably been well over a month since I posted an episode. That wasn't the plan at all. I'm not sure what the plan was, but I'm very out of sync. I'm not in a bad place in terms of my life or my projects, but in terms of my quilty communications, very out of sync. I need to put out a newsletter. Haven't done it in a while. It's on my list. It's like at the top of my list. I need to do it. Haven't done it. Need to post a podcast episode. Haven't done it. I am working on a quilt. I am quilting the chair quilt. I am at this point, I'm very close to being done with at least the first phase of quilting, which is just echo quilting around the chairs. Now, there are a lot of chairs, and for the most part, it's gone very smoothly. I have been using not a walking foot or a free motion foot, just a regular old foot. I don't even know what you would call it. Just a regular old foot. And I have used this foot in part just for the ease of mobility, because I'm just going around these chairs. But in retrospect, in some spots, probably a walking foot would have been better, because there are a couple places, not every place, but a few places where there's been some bunching. And I can't quite explain it, other than, okay, each chair is on a rectangle, right? I think it's I'm going to call it a 9x4 rectangle. And all these rectangles were sewed into rows, and then the rows were sewed into chunks, and the chunks were chunked together. And the chairs are not necessarily, you know, they're different configurations, groupings of chairs on each row, but a lot of chairs do have a chair right above them, and there might be an inch of white space, negative space between the chairs. Now, there's a seam between the chairs, but I have not stitched in the ditch between the chairs. So that's why I'm surprised in some spots that there has been some bunching up or puffiness in that space between the chairs. And I'm not sure why, because other places it is completely flat. So I've had to do some, you know, unquilting and requilting. And it wouldn't be a Frances Dow quilt if there were not unquilting and requilting done. But I'm just, you know, as always, I'm learning as I go along. But I haven't figured out what I'm learning. I haven't figured out what the problem is, other than perhaps should have been using a walking foot all along. At this point, by the way, I don't have that much left to quilt, at least in this stage of quilting. But I did, my friend Kristen was like, yeah, maybe you should be using a walking foot. So on these last, I probably have a dozen chairs left, I'm using it. And it does seem to help. So maybe that was just the problem all along. I don't know what I'm going to do when I finish doing the echo quilting and the ghost chairs, which are in the spaces in between the applique chairs. I am doing ghost chairs, which is just outlining of the chairs in those spaces, outlining of chairs. Other than that, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm a little hesitant, because of the construction of the quilt, to do much more, to be quite honest. But as Jay says over at Art Quilt Maker, make visual decisions visually. So I'm going to finish this part of it, and I will look at it and see if I think some more needs to be done. But part of me is like, it may not be a heavily quilted quilt. It may be that with all these chairs, with the echo quilting around the chairs, that is enough quilting. We will see. We will make our visual decisions visually. It's nice to be quilting. What happened is that, okay, we went to Ocracoke a month ago. We left on June 25th, and we had a good week. It was a quiet week. Some of our Ocracoke vacations are quite sublime. They've all been nice. We haven't had a bad vacation. We haven't had a hurricane vacation. We haven't had a family meltdown vacation. So they've all been nice. But there's some that have been, yes, sublime. Wonderful, mysterious, just kind of magical. This wasn't one of those vacations, but it was nice nonetheless. Will was sick, which is weird. Will had volunteered at baseball camp the week before and was hurting, as in H-E-R-D-I-N-G as opposed to H-U-R-T-I-N-G. Hurting a lot of little kids around the baseball field. And on our second day in Ocracoke, he was like, I don't feel that good. And at first we just thought it was a little bug. So, you know, he was resting. He was chilling out. And we went to the beach one afternoon. And one night he and the man went fishing, went surf fishing. And then it was like, and we thought he was getting all better. And then like Thursday, he just looked horrible. Like gray and feverish. He'd had a fever. The fever seemed to have gone down. It came back. So on Friday, we took him and got an appointment at the health clinic on Ocracoke. And the doctor looked in his ears and said, wow, that is the most pus I've ever seen in an ear canal. And this is a child who's never had an ear infection. So he was complaining a little bit that his ears were uncomfortable. But my understanding is when you have ear infections that it's really deeply painful. And I had ear infections as a child, and I remember that, how much that hurt. But maybe when you're 14 going on 15, you get the ear infection and it's not quite so bad. So anyway, he has broken my streak of mothering children without ear infections. But they gave him some antibiotics, and he recovered quite nicely. It was our first visit, to the health clinic, and we can recommend it. Good doctoring there. So it was a good week, maybe not so much for Will, but a quiet week. Right before we left, I took my Bernina in for servicing, which I was a year overdue on, and I had thought about taking it to Bernina World in Raleigh. Now that Thimble Pleasures is closed, that's where I used to take it in to be serviced. Thimble Pleasures was pretty close, like a 15-minute ride from my house. Bernina World was going to be like a 35-minute ride, but I thought, you know, I really need to get this serviced. But at the last minute, I thought, you know, I bet there are places in Durham that service sewing machines, and the fact is my machine works fine. There are no problems to address. So I looked it up, and there was a place called Clayton Machine Repair, and that their thing is sewing machines and vacuums. And I called them, and they did Bernina's, and they had really, really good online reviews and an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. So I took it there, and I said, I actually don't need this for a week, which may have been a mistake to tell them. I said, I'm going to be out of town. How long do you think it'll take? And the woman who I handed my wonderful Bernina over to said, oh, probably just about a week. It'll probably be ready when you get back. Well, it was not. And in fact, it wasn't ready until we got back and that Friday. We got back on a Sunday, and it wasn't ready till that Friday. So it really took 2 weeks. And I will say that it is like when your car is running pretty well, and you take to get it serviced, get the oil changed, and get things, you know, kind of polished and shined and all that. And you can feel that it's running better, and that's how I feel about the Bernina, so I was happy about it. But I was like, wow, 2 weeks. But then I went to a Modern Quilt Guild meeting and asked my friend Patty if she got her machine serviced, and she said yes. And she lives over in Cary, and she takes it to a quilt shop in Raleigh. And I said, well, how long does it take? And she said, it just depends where I am in the queue, but it can take 2 weeks. So I'm like, all right, because I was feeling like a little bit like 2 weeks. But maybe I just don't feel like it took that long at Thimble Pleasures. But there you have it. Anyway, but that meant that I came back from vacation, and it was July. It was the beginning of the month before I had my machine back. And since then, I have worked a bit on Stellar Junior, which is, if you'll recall, the improv quilt that started as a back for Stellar Senior. But then I liked the back so much, I thought it should be its own quilt. The brilliant Adele came up with a great quilt design for me to extend the quilt, because I was thinking about just adding borders to it, and Adele sent me posted on Twitter an amazing picture where there are certain angles of the quilt, certain lines of the quilt that are extended. So I have done some work on that. It's difficult because what I'm having to do is extend these lines. Like, there's a triangle that I've extended, and you have to make everything match perfectly, or visually it's just unacceptable. It doesn't work. So that takes some doing. But I think I've done the hardest part. So when I finish quilting sit-in, aka the chair quilt, I will finish that. And I still have Stellar to quilt, and then I will have Stellar Junior, which deserves its own name, but does not have one yet. I need to quilt that as well. And then I've got some ideas for other quilts. I have so many ideas, but it was disappointing to lose that week, I have to say. But things are going fine. It's, as I said, I believe it's the 26th of July, and summer can be very hard for me. It can be very claustrophobic because it can be super hot here. And in fact, last week it was super hot. It was so hot. It was, the heat index was like 108. And it's interesting to me how different, for instance, 90 degrees and 98 degrees feel from one another. Huge difference, and the air quality changes. And that's the thing I really noticed last week when it started hitting 98 and 99, is I've never been asthmatic, but you walk out and you're like so that was not good. But now it's, today it was just like 88, so it feels like fall. It's really nice. Can you hear all the bugs? I hope you can. This is one of my favorite things about summer, is the sounds and the way things smell. So it's been a very calm summer. Will has done some volunteering at our school that runs a camp program in the summer, and he has volunteered at some baseball camps, which is great. Although last week we had this thing where there were some guys from the varsity baseball team also volunteering. Nice guys, a couple of whom I knew. But suddenly Will, who's just going to be in ninth grade this fall, you know, I get a text from him. He's like, "Can I get a ride home with Michael?" And I'm like, can Michael drive me home? Suddenly, you know, Will makes friends with everyone. So he's making friends with these guys who have driver's license. I'm like, I don't know what to do. That came a lot faster than I thought it would. So we had to work on a policy about who Will can get rides from school. And since he plays sports and knows older guys, it makes sense that we would have to come up with that policy. But I didn't quite expect it last week. Jack just went on a camping trip with other Davidson freshmen, and he had a great time, and they went whitewater rafting and bonded, and so he's totally psyched. And I've just been writing and now quilting this sit-in and doing house stuff, which I get very housey in the summer, I think, because some summers I get kind of in a funk, and the best way I know to get out of a funk is start, like, just cleaning out your pantry. You know, there's something about having an orderly space. Obviously, I'm not sure, you know, if I were suffering from severe depression or even moderate depression, I'm not sure cleaning my closet would do it. So I don't mean to, those of you who are suffering from more serious forms of depression, I don't mean to, you know, make light. Yeah, just go clean your closet, honey. You'll feel better. I'm talking more about being in a funk. And when you're in a funk, clean your mudroom or your fridge, and you just kind of feel like, oh yeah, the world can be orderly and make sense. This is much better. So I have been doing some work like that, and it's really nice. It's nice to have my hall closet clean again. It's nice to have the mudroom in fairly good shape. And I've been working on some floors, cleaning them and polishing them, and that's been really good too. So I've done some good housework, done some good writing. As always, I always look forward to fall. That's my favorite season. I used to go back and forth between fall and spring. But now, and spring is very nice, but fall is the best. There's nothing as good as a good fall. So I'm not sure what else to tell you. I finished reading The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, which I highly recommend. I thought it was brilliant. It will hurt you to read it, particularly the first 50 pages. They're painful. They're really painful. Someone commented on, I've talked about reading this, certainly in the last podcast episode I talked about it, and someone said, yeah, it's not really a beach read. It's really not a beach read. But it's really good. And so if you can put up with some pain and heartache, it's worth reading. I read a lot at the beach, and now I'm like, well, but yes, I did, but what did I read? And now my mind is absolutely breaking. My mind is breaking. It sometimes does feel that way. I'll tell you, I read a lot of the new David Sedaris book, his journals, which now, what is it called? Theft by Finding. And I didn't finish it. I got really far, and at some point I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. The bulk of the journals are from his 20s. A lot of people, and I think particularly creative people, the 20s are a very difficult decade. Partly because you're just making no money. You're broke all the time. Because, you know, when you're in your 20s, unless you're Selena Gomez or something, right, or Taylor Swift, most artists and writers in their 20s, you know, they're just building at that point. And of course, a lot of people don't end up making a career out of their art. But it's difficult. And Sedaris had a difficult decade as well in his 20s. And he did a lot of drugs and he drank a lot. And I love him and he's very funny. But there's sometimes his humor, there's an edge of cruelty, I think. And you see that too with his sister, Amy Sedaris, who's also quite well known, although not as a writer, more as an actress. And he refers to her and some like pranks that she pulls. And so I just got to a point in the book where it's like, yeah, I just don't want to be in the space anymore. So I switched over to Sherman Alexie's book, which I believe is called, is it It's Okay If You Don't Love Me? Which is largely about his mother, who died fairly recently, like in the last few years, and was a complicated person, very intelligent, but bipolar, was an alcoholic, although she stopped drinking, I think, when Alexie was, was still pretty young. So I think, and it's amazing. It's a beautiful book. It was really moving, and even though it was sad, it's a different kind of sad than the Sedaris book, and you just felt really a lot of compassion, and it's just beautiful. So I would highly recommend that. So I did some good beach reading in Ocracoke, and I started a book for a book club, which I didn't finish, although I got fairly far, which is a book called The Beekeeper's Apprentice, which actually, if you like mysteries, I would recommend. Even though I didn't finish it, I was enjoying it, but I just get to this place sometimes with books. I'm like, oh, I don't actually care how it ends. And it was it seemed to me like 347 pages. And I think I got to about page 200. I'm like, there's so many other books that I want to read, and I don't care how this ends. I've enjoyed it up to this point. It is for book club, so sometimes I feel a social obligation to finish books for book club, except for the fact I knew this was not a book that we would spend a lot of time discussing. The fact is we don't spend a lot of time discussing books anyway, but this is one, because there wasn't much to discuss other than, yeah, it's fun. But it's called The Beekeeper's Apprentice, and it's a Sherlock Holmes book. Only in this series, and it's a series, and in the series, Sherlock Holmes has retired. But he takes on kind of an apprentice who's a young, very smart young woman who kind of feel like her parents are English, but she was raised in America And then her parents were killed in a car accident, and she comes back to England, something like that. And so, you know, but I don't... It's very weird. I'm not a big mystery person. I do like the Louise Penny mysteries, but I think they're very character-driven books in a lot of ways. Or at least the characters are really great. So, anyway. But if the book sounds at all appealing to you, by all means read it. Because it's like I said, I just kind of don't care about mysteries that much. But I did enjoy what I read. So I think that kind of this. I think this is going to be a short episode because things have been quiet. They've not been bad, as I've said. They've been fine. I'm very happy to be at my machine again. I'm excited to work on sit-in and to finish it and to quilt other quilts and to come up with other design ideas and to look at other people's quilts. We had a fun Modern Quilt Guild meeting. I guess it was July. I want to say it was July 8th, but it was a sew-in. And it was really all afternoon. I just came for a few hours, maybe 2 hours. But I brought yo-yos to do because I just didn't feel... My machine is so heavy. I'm just like, it was hot. The machine was too heavy. And I'm really actually glad I did that because there wasn't a ton of space. I mean, there was. There were a lot of tables set up. But I feel like I need a lot of space to spread out. And there wasn't really spreading out space. But I sat with my friends Patty and Joy. And we had a very fun time. And we've talked about trying to get together outside of the guild meetings to sew. It's a little hard because I live in Durham. And Patty lives in Cary. And Joy lives in Garner, I think. So we live pretty far apart. But one day we will. But so it was quite enjoyable. There was a pillow swap, which I signed up to participate in and then withdrew almost immediately because I realized it's like I love the idea of swaps and exchanges, and I'm doing the one for the Twilters, the Facebook group, the Twilters, which I'm behind on yet again, and I should not do these things because I am in some ways quite undisciplined because I'm very disciplined about my writing. And that means I don't have a lot of leftover discipline. And I like to do, once I get past my daily chores and routines and committed writing time, I kind of just like to do what I want to do. And that makes me bad for things like swaps because other people determine what you do for swaps. And that's perfectly fine. That is within the spirit of a swap or an exchange. But I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm not in the mood to do that. This is why I was a terrible student, because if I wasn't in the mood to study something, it was really, really hard for me to study. I was always in the mood to read, and I always was in the mood to write, so I was fortunate in that way. I got better in college. The last couple of years of college, I finally figured out how to study and how to finish things and do a better job. But anyway, but I will say that the pillows, so people made, you know, these were probably, let's call them 18 by 18 pillows. They were nice sized pillows, so maybe, yeah, that seems about right. Maybe even bigger than that. And people made the pillowcases and then also, but put them on pillow forms. And I have to say, they were amazing. People's creativity just amazes me. The pillows were beautiful. People did such a good job. So that was very fun. So there was the pillow swap. I loved seeing what people made. I did not regret not being involved because I also would have been nervous about it. Like, oh, is this any good? And is the person going to like this? And is everybody else's better than mine? So sometimes it's just fun not to have a pony in the race. So you can just enjoy everybody's stuff. Okay, it's now Friday. I thought I was done the other night. When was that? Wednesday, Tuesday? Time has lost all meaning here in the middle of July. End of July. We're almost at the end of July because it's Friday. It's July 28th. And I did think I was finished, but the last 10 minutes of what I recorded the other night, not really worthwhile. So I'm going to finish today. Last night, I actually stopped working on sit-in just for the night. I just needed a break. It's a big quilt. I need to measure it again, but it's really big, and it's not so much the bigness, the wrestling of the large quilt. There's some of that, but I've gotten pretty good at flinging it around. But it's just really, it's a lot of thread burying. There is a lot of thread burials. That's better. And I'm doing some as I go along. That's actually a good thing at night if the man and I are watching TV. I lug in the sit-in quilt and sit and bury threads. And yeah, because we're talking over 100 little chairs. And each one has its own set of threads in need of burial. So yeah. So there's that. Thread burials. There is the unquilting to try to get it to lie as flat as I can. I think in some spots, it's going to be impossible to get it to be all the way smooth. It's the chairs are too close together. The chairs are roughly spaced or placed on the background rectangle, roughly around the same place, but there's some variation, which I wanted. That's part of the funkiness of the quilt, that it's not all straight lines. Nonetheless, what happens when there's one, you know, two that are fairly close together, the bottom of one chair and the top of another that are fairly close together, that is causing a few problems. I'm getting it for the most part, but I also have to remember I'm going to wash this quilt in some fashion. I actually have the idea that maybe I'll hang it up on the clothesline and just hose it down, because I'm a little scared of putting it in the washing machine. Although I do have a delicate cycle, and I'm sure it would be fine. I also thought about putting it in the tub. I do want to wash it. I do want it to have some crinkliness, which is quite possibly not a word, but I do want a crinkle factor, a texture factor, but I don't want an unwanted puffiness, jammed up factor. It's not even so much puffiness. It's more something looks jammed about some of them. Anyway, it's a process. And what I'm trying to keep in mind is that I'm just making a quilt. And there's no need for speed. Obviously, if I get it finished on time, I'd like to enter it into QuiltCon. I've got that in the back of my mind. But what if I didn't finish it by then? Which is, we're talking the end of November, so good Lord, I better be finished by then. But I think that at times, you can get into kind of a production mode that mirrors the culture. So it's like, I need to make stuff. I need to be producing. And not just when it comes to quilts, but when it comes to everything. And this is a little hard on me because on the one hand, I'm as caught up in the cultural tides and trends and waves as anyone else. On the other hand, I'm a naturally very lazy person. And so those two things fight against each other. But also, I kind of feel like, why? Why do I have to produce? I mean, I have to produce to make a living, and I'm very fortunate in that what I have to produce is stories, which I enjoy doing very much. But as far as quilts, no one's waiting for my next quilt. No one's waiting for my next Instagram picture. Now, I like posting on Instagram, although I understand that the impulse, because, it's like you get little hearts. People, click a little heart and you get little hearts. And that's very, very nice. And I think partly it's a little boost. You post your picture on Instagram and people like it. And that's really cool. And I have to be careful, too, and to not go looking for love. I think that's the best way to put it, that the love has to be here in my heart and with Travis and my family. It's very easy in this day and age to seek approval from strangers. And, the interesting thing about the internet is you create these little communities and worlds, and so people don't feel like strangers. People you've never met and probably will never meet. Once they leave a positive comment on your photograph on Instagram, you feel like, oh, there's my friend so-and-so. And it's not just one, but there are certain people who are pretty consistent about leaving nice comments. And after a while, you feel like a kinship with them. It's like,
They could be a mass murderer for all I know, but they do like my Instagram post, you know? So, I have to be careful about seeking praise because, I mean, everybody wants praise, right? But I have too much in my life which is dependent on praise, right? It's dependent on reviews. The books that I write, the sales are dependent on reviews. And also, just personally, when you spend a year or two writing a book, you really care what people think about it. So I philosophically, I go back and forth about seeking praise, right? So sometimes it's just better, and that's what I have to remind myself. No one is waiting for me to post anything on Instagram. I don't have to finish anything. There's not any necessity for me to produce, and there is no deadline for the chair quilt or any of my quilts, and that the joy, the real true and genuine joy, is in the making. So I remind myself of that, because sometimes you're like, oh, I've got to finish this so I can put a picture on Instagram. I'm like, nah, that's, you're wrong. Don't get into that mindset. And I think it is easy. We're just human. We want to be loved. We want to be members of the tribe. It's hardwired into us. So I need to be careful. Anyway, I sat sitting down and started making some flying geese. In part, there's a challenge, QuiltCon challenge. I think it's All People Quilt, aka American Patchwork. I was about to say American Patchwork and Pacifiers. Those of you who remember that podcast from many years ago, which I still miss. Wonderful quilting podcast. One of the first ones I ever listened to. Was it just American Patchwork and Quilting, right? I think they're doing the challenge. It's not a fabric company. And it's a flying geese challenge. And I've had some ideas. I think my big idea is not going to work, but I've had some ideas circling around in my mind because I love the idea of taking flying geese units and doing something modern and interesting and new with them. So, and this is, I also just kind of, one, wanted to play a little bit, and two, in the same way that last year, after designing quilts for the Birds in the Air quilt project, to actually make a quilt based on someone else's pattern was a relief, was so much fun. In the same way, just making a flying geese unit where they're just rules. You cut out a 5-inch rectangle, 5-inch by 2.75-inch, and then 2.75-inch squares, and you sew on the diagonal, and you do this, and you do that, and there's your little flying geese unit. Now, my dream, or my thought, it's not really a dream, it's not a passion, I don't have a passion for flying geese units, or in this case, tiny ones. I thought about it'd be fun, like, how small can you go? And actually, I've been making these ones that are 5 by 2.75, but cutting them down, which is good for me because I am not the most accurate piecer. It's a little bit wasty when it comes to fabric. Isn't that a good adjective? Wasty. It's wasty. But I also, so I was doing that last night. I cut down the units to be 4 by 2, something like that. And they're cute. They're really small. I posted a picture on Instagram looking for love as I was last night. And what I realized after I posted the pictures, you can't gauge how big these are. So they look like, you know, average, typical size flying geese, whatever that might be. And they're actually quite small. And I like them, but then I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, you know, piecing small things together means a lot of seams close together, and that can be problematic. So I need to think about that. I also have the, you know, I'm just playing around with how can you make these units kind of off-kilter and interesting. And part of, I was thinking, well, and so I was playing around on the design board with them and came up with a, you know, just a sort of mishmash of geese flying around. Still can't get away from the birds, can I? No. But I did realize looking at them, I'm like, this might require math. If I were actually going to have these units kind of going off at odd angles from one another, then there's going to have to be connecting, that I'm going to have, how do you piece them together? How do you fill in the empty spaces? And like, I don't know. I don't know. I think it would take someone who knows geometry, which I don't. So it'll usually probably just take someone doing it the half-assed way that I do things. Yes. I feel like I'm so, again, kind of disconnected from everything. I was thinking about, you know, Holly Ann over at Strings and Story, or String and Story, did a test pattern of modern birds in the air, and it came out beautifully. And then she has been doing a lot of quilting. She and Vicky over at My Creative Corner 3 and Kristen Esser and Jen, Quilt and Jenny, they did a blog hop kind of thing. They all quilted from Krista Watson and Angela, I am blanking on, you know who, Angela Walters, quilting book. And which is a lot of fun. And it was, what was fun about it in particular is watching how much, you know, they got better and got more intricate and detailed. But anyway, so Holly Ann made Modern Birds in the Air, made a copy of it, tested the pattern for me. And it's the pattern that Adele wrote up and then quilted it and did a beautiful job. And I need to, like, okay, and has sent me notes, and I need to sit down with the notes and make, you know, and send those notes and work through them and send the revised version to Adele. And that is so not on my radar right now as much as I think, but Holly Ann went to all this trouble. Sorry, Holly Ann. I will be more organized in the fall. I think I'm going to be back in the saddle in every possible way. I will be in all the saddles, and I will have a very organized life. Anyway, it is Friday. It's closing in on 10 in the morning. Travis and I have been on our walk. The man has gone to work. My children are, surprise, surprise, asleep. Will's been sleeping really late and then eating a ton. So I expect him to be 6 feet tall by the end of August. Probably not. He's about 5'9", 5'10 now. Jack just gets taller and taller. He's 6'2 now. Skinny as a rail. He doesn't eat a ton. Just a skinny kid. Will's starting to eat, like, ramp up the eating. So yesterday I felt like all I did was sleep and then just ate. So I need to go buy more food. But yes, so today's Friday. Now I will tell you, and I will close out on this. I will try to. I seem to be in a little bit of a rambly mood right now. I do plan to get back to sit-in today and bury some more threads and keep quilting along. It's going to happen in its own time. I'm going to go grocery shopping. I have a meeting later in the day. I'm giving up my role as the Arts Assembly Volunteer Coordinator at our fine school, which is a job I've been doing, I think, for about 7 years now. And I've scheduled and contracted for all the lower school and middle school arts assemblies. But now I don't have children in either the lower school, aka an elementary school, the elementary school, or middle school. So I felt like time to pass this on to someone else. And I'm meeting with that someone else. And I realized after doing this job for so long that I don't really know how to explain it. So I need to spend a little bit of time maybe taking a few notes so I can explain it to this woman. So anyway, and I'm going to do some cleaning. I'm not going to write today. I've been very good about writing. And I'm working on a new Sam the Man book. But today, my house needs attention. I have been trying to be more attentive to my house this summer. In the summertime, I am all about dailiness because that's the only way I know to survive the summer, one day at a time. And here we are in July, and July is the hardest month because it's very, very long. It's like 78 days. It's the longest month of the year. And then also, July is followed by August. There's no relief in sight. You have August ahead of you, which sometimes here in North Carolina is the hottest month. All right, so it's not like August where you have September to look forward to, and October, November, I love the fall. No, July, you just have August. You have 78 days of July, and then you have August. So the only way to really persevere is just one day at a time. And so I've been trying to keep up with the house, keep things neat, and I've gotten on this thing Friday and Saturday, kind of doing a Sabbath preparation. just kind of so Sunday can be calm and quiet. I go to church, usually by myself because I live with heathens, and then I come home and they haven't managed to destroy the house too much. They don't really destroy the house. It's the kitchen. It's the kitchen. But yes, and so I like that. I've gotten into that habit of cleaning the kitchen on Friday, washing the sheets on Friday, and then on Saturday, dusting and vacuuming so that Sunday everything is peaceful and calm, and I keep the Sabbath, which I try to do by not working, not shopping, unless I actually really have to shop. Sometimes you do, but I try, but grocery shop. I don't do other kinds of shopping at all. But it's very nice to have this day, you know, to work toward this day where everything is lovely. So I've been doing that. So I'm going to work on that today. And yeah, and maybe go to the gym because I've been trying to do that too. So one day at a time, I'm surviving the summer by enjoying the fruits of the summer, including tomatoes and peaches, which we are getting now from South Carolina. And they are delicious, although they are over. Peach time is going away. It's been wonderful. So the daily delights of a good tomato and a clean bathroom, that gets you through the 78 days of July. All right, I'm going to finish up now, get this posted. I hope you're having a good summer. A lot of people actually are much more positive about summer than I am, but that's because they have summer homes in Cape Cod or don't live in North Carolina, where with the heat index of 108 and the humidity of 2000 and, you know, I don't know, 23. Yeah, it's hot and humid. So a lot of people are like, summer, what fun. And I think that's really sweet. I have plans to move to Canada. No, I have plans to get really rich so I too can summer on Cape Cod or perhaps Prince Edward Island. One day, my friends, one day. So hope you're enjoying summer and I hope you're making lots of quilts. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.